This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy Thursday, and more importantly, happy opening day. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. That's right. From St. Lawrence to St. Pete, from Vegas to Myrtle Beach, from Warwick to Bayshore, we are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
Sorry, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. It is Mraz. It is Bogus. Bogey, good morning. We've made it. Happy opening day, my man.
Is it opening day? I didn't realize that we finally have actual baseball games tonight. I'm so excited that the Yankees are involved. I can't wait to watch them try to end this long, suffering drought for you and your fans.
I will not let you rain on my parade. I have woken up this morning absolutely giddy, and it should show, ironically with DA being off, right? Monumentally, the night sports closed as we knew it. The following morning, it was you and I in here reacting to what the heck had just changed in the world. That was 4 months ago now. And I do want to tip my cap to the PGA Tour, to NASCAR, who was first, to soccer, whether it be European or even the MLS. They have been tremendous filler at a time I needed to see competition. But today, Bogus, today, our first of the four major sports is back for real, competitive, not scrimmages, not preseason games. We get real baseball with a doubleheader later this evening. The Yankees and Nets, the Giants and the Dodgers, and then tomorrow, ooh, like dessert after Thanksgiving, you take a big hunk and bite out of all the other teams kicking off the Major League Baseball season. And here we are, Bogus. It is opening freaking day.
And this is the grand experiment. All those other leagues and organizations and sports have done a great job living their kind of new life here. But baseball is unlike any other because we're moving around. We're in every part of the country. We've got much more interaction between all the players in the game, on the same team, in the opposition. And again, moving, crisscrossing, taking God knows what germs from here to there. So, you know, this is now really our next huge step in figuring out how to do all of this in the current situation before we get to football in the fall or the winter or the spring. You know, baseball sets the next example because they have upped the ante by not being in a bubble, not completely controlling their environments. You know, they're doing everything as close to normal as possible, with the obvious exception of the fans not being there and all the crazy rules involved. But again, except for those empty seats, this is baseball and the way baseball would normally be played. So if we can do this right, and baseball certainly at the moment is trending in the right direction medically and scientifically and safe and healthy protocol ways, you know, this, if they can do this, it's a good sign, fingers crossed, for everything else that we want to happen later this year.
That is the perfect segue. So just to let you know, later on in the show, Bob Nightingale, USA, longtime senior MLB writer, covers baseball great there. He is going to join the show as we preview opening day. Bogus and I will each make kind of a wacky prediction for a 60-game season, couple over-unders. We still have, obviously, the NFL making their big mask announcement to get to. We saw the NBA play some scrimmages yesterday. Plenty to set the table to on the show, but it's just Bogus just alluded to. Is this the next turning of the page? Will this work? Are you excited? Baseball's back. It's opening day. It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
It doesn't matter how many times, how many years you've been in this. When you get an opening day and you're playing on opening day, that's always special. It doesn't matter if you're first or you're last. It's the start of baseball. It's been too long without baseball, so it's pretty cool that we're the first ones to go.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, Hart Grundy.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
You hear it there from Max Scherzer, Bogus. The players that do want to play, I am sure there is a ton of excitement and a ton of giddiness. They have now been around their team for about 3 weeks or so. They've even played some exhibition games, which I guess probably made them feel somewhat at ease. But I'm sure there are many players still with that skepticism of, oof, we're really out here playing during a pandemic. But hey, here they are. They're collecting paychecks as an audience from a mental health standpoint. We get some form of regularity, at least on television, if you're a sports fan. And as much as I said I credited all those other sports, look, summertime is baseball time. And for these last 5-6 weeks of a summer that has flown by, and maybe some of us don't even realize has begun, here we are and we get baseball on our TV. Of course, you cannot enter this season without feeling a little bit skeptical. Bogus, they did not go with the bubble plan like basketball did, like hockey did. So you will have players crisscrossing all over the place. And we're going to get to the Jays in a little bit as well. But you had an entire country saying, we don't trust this plan. So it's going to happen. Baseball players in and out of cities every 3 days, every 4 days, in some cases every 2 days. And you hope all that zigzagging and crossing paths doesn't cause spikes in clubhouses or this, that, and the other thing. But they're going to give it a whirl. I think they're going to find a way to prevail and find a way to push through, especially with expanded rosters. And we're going to get a good 60-game sprint in. It's going to lead to, I think, some weird things, some wild things. I think there will certainly be a playoff team or two or three that maybe would not have made it in a 162-game season. But look, everybody's playing these 60 games. So it's away we go. But overall, Bogus, I have this morning woken up more excited, more, wow, this is really awesome, this is really refreshing, than I am, oh no, I hope this works. So I don't know where you stand on that.
Well, I mean, I am, what I'm optimistic about is that this began when players showed up for summer camp earlier this month. The testing situation was in disarray. Remember, we had teams canceling practice because they didn't know what their results were. And we had guys kind of threatening to go home because the testing was out of whack. The A's missed a day because tests were sitting in an airport because nobody accounted for the 4th of July being a holiday and the mail system not working down. So it was embarrassing at the beginning. Since then, they have gotten their you-know-what in order. There have been none of these logistical issues, and there have been very few positive tests. So that makes me optimistic. And across the board, that seems to be the trend now between MLS and NBA and hockey and baseball, that the theoretical bubble, whether it's as legitimate as Disney or whether it's all these individual baseball bubbles around the country, the bubbles do seem to be working. The one thing, and this is to me, I know you might shrug your shoulders, like this is not doom and gloom, this is just reality, is we can only do so much. Like the virus still right now is better than any plan, and the virus still can dictate how we go about things, and people outside the bubble can mess things up and create situations. I mean, part of the reason why Pittsburgh and Pennsylvania said no to the Blue Jays is because they've had a spike in that general area of Pennsylvania going towards Ohio, and they don't want any more people coming in through the area. So the rest, everybody on the outside can still mess things up. So I think they're going in the right direction. But at the end of the day, my one hesitation will always be, you can have, in theory, the perfect plan, and it can be going well for days, weeks, or months, and then just like with a snap of a finger, things can change, and maybe a team can't play in its city anymore, or even a more significant change than that. That's always on the horizon. There's no relaxing here or anything like that. But today, things look good, and today's a day to sit back and enjoy at least the first game, because I'm going to be asleep by 10 o'clock, so Godspeed to the Giants and the Dodgers tonight.
I'll make it to the first pitch. 855-212-4227. That number again is 855-212-4CBS. And on that note, a report that broke later on last night, Bogush, which I cannot believe, but I guess I will believe. It is from John Heyman. And look, John Heyman has obviously been a source of a couple of our jokes around here, him and DA going at each other on MLB Network. Full transparency. Look, John's done a good job for a long time, but there are moments I read some John Heyman reports that have frankly, you know, blown up maybe back at his face and proved to not be as accurate as maybe he thought from his sources. That being said, he tweets last night that the MLB and MLBPA last second are making a push to expand the postseason, are having discussions, and it has to be decided before first pitch later tonight between the Yankees and Nats, because once the season begins, your rules are in place, and that's it. So, Bogus, let me just start here with this news. What I mean, did we not go through enough with the MLB and MLBPA trying to figure things out? Why on earth is there any reason to even bring anything like this to anybody's attention and rock the boat? We're good as fans with having the five teams. I know you want to make that revenue as an owner, but we're good. Why even go down this mad rush of 24 hours where, to me, more arguments can happen than any good can happen in the CBA?
Well, so in general, I don't need playoff expansion. I'll take it this year because it gives us an extra wrinkle of drama. It gives a handful of extra games when the regular season is over. I think it gives teams a little more wiggle room for some issues here. You can survive a bad stretch or a bad injury for a couple of weeks and still have that extra level, that extra layer of playoff games. So I'm not against it for this tiny season. I'm just so confused by how this all happened. Like, was a guy in the union and a guy at MLB headquarters just like G-chatting about nothing? And then all of a sudden, like on Monday, we're like, you know what would be really cool? What if we like expand the play? You know, that was a good idea a couple of weeks ago. Why don't we rethink that? And now they're in this sprint to get it done before first pitch tonight. So I don't hate the idea. I just need to know the timeline of all of this and why we're doing it now and not like 10 days ago, once everybody was kind of settled in the summer camp and we were just killing time until real games. They could have had these conversations then, not today.
So, a couple things. Number one, I will disagree with you in that it creates more drama. I think the more drama is having the five-team playoffs with a 60-game season and then wondering, oh my goodness, is a team going to miss out and seeing them try to dash at the last second? I think the eight teams throws them that life raft of you assume all the good teams will get in, and maybe that's what baseball wants. Number two, usually no good happens when you have basically 24 hours to figure something out and cram it. I can only compare it to my college days where I would have a week to write a paper and I would go that last day, all right, I got 12 hours, let me crank this out. And the result, as you can imagine, would never be good with the grade.
Let's make a rule. Let's not compare anything to your educational career, because I don't know that your educational career and decisions are a good comparison for anything else.
I think it works here because, Bogus, there's plenty of people like me who, instead of spending all week in a paper, go, oh, I work so much better if I'm against the clock. I don't think baseball is going to work better like I didn't work better if they are against the clock. So I have a hard time envisioning. Now, I will also close with this point. I, for the life of me, and I know it rewards the owners' pockets with revenue, and so outside of spite and spiting the owners, I, for the life of me, can't figure out why the Players Association would not want expanded playoffs, right? Because if you do care about things more than money, my assumption is you also care about postseason glory, winning World Series, doing exactly what you dreamt of doing as a kid when you were 7 years old, 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old, dreaming of being that player in the moment in October. An expanded postseason gives way more players that opportunity to try to live that dream, to try to chase down, hey, 60-game season, maybe my team I didn't think was as good when we entered camp in March, but now we got a real shot at this thing if we get hot. And you never know. We get hot in a couple playoff series. Maybe I find myself in a World Series that I may have missed out on in my career. There's got to be a lot of those guys, Bogus, that if I'm a player and I got presented with, oh, I have a better shot at making the postseason this year on top of the 60-game season, I want in. So I never understood why the players were against the expanded postseason to begin with, outside of the mere fact of it helps the owners, so basically bleep them.
Yeah, because didn't we have at one point, like while they were still negotiating, in air quotes, where that came off the table as almost like a give back to the players. I remember having this conversation going, why is this good news to the players that there's not expanded playoffs? Because I'm with you. I mean, I don't know what we're missing, because for like 9 different reasons, you'd want more playoff games. You'd want to keep playing. You'd want to have a better chance at winning. You'd want to have the cushion of maybe not being great for 60 games, but still sneaking in as a wild card team as opposed to a division winner. In theory, there's more money than if, because we're playoff shares and TV revenue goes up. So I've never understood why the players wouldn't want this. And my thought now even was, they must have called and been like, hey, by the way, we're still good with 16 playoff teams, not 10. Just get back to us if you guys want to do this, leaving a voicemail at Rob Manfred's office. So, you know, they're like the only negotiations here, and even going to adding these 6 extra teams, there's no negotiating there either. It's just the next best records and we're in. And like, so maybe you have to talk about the structure of that new first round with these extra teams, but like all of the decision making is on the league side in terms of like venues and TV contracts and sharing money, whatever. So, you know, to me, that's where the haggling would be here. But I've always thought the players would sign up for this in a second. And maybe that's what has changed along the lines here, Sean, is that the union's opinion of this, you know, if they did not like it at one point, now they do. And that's maybe they are the ones that restarted all of this to try and get it in before first pitch tonight.
Yeah, my prediction will be too little too late. I don't think he gets something done within one day. And as you pointed out, why not do this 10 days ago?
I also, like, I would give them till tomorrow. I mean, I don't know what if there's a hard and fast rule here, but like the Nats and Yankees and Giants and Dodgers are not changing anything about tonight's games, whether there's 10 or 16 playoff teams.
That's
like, there's, you're still going, you know what, to the wall here for 60 games to get in. So it's not like any managerial decision is going to be different today because it's 10 or 16 teams. So I would even give them like through the weekend, because nothing is going to change, because everybody's going 100% here to the finish line. And so I don't know that the numbers really matter or why today has to be a deadline. It's probably written somewhere, but if both sides are okay with going past that written rule, then talk about it for longer than just these 24 hours.
Look, the Wizard of Watch DA Bogus is in the house, watchda.com, and even on Twitch. Now this week, you can catch the show this morning. SiriusXM 206, your radio.com app, all of our awesome affiliates. DA is off. It's the summer of DA now as he takes his Thursdays and Fridays off. Some mostly Fridays, some Thursdays. It'll be Bogus and me along the way with that. So we have MLB opening day, shocker, DA off as real sports are about to happen. That never fails. So we are in the house today. We have a great show coming up. Remember, if you have any thoughts on MLB opening day beginning, on expanded playoffs, are you nervous? Are you excited? At Andrew Bogus, and you could find that. He has a C in there somewhere. He spells that name all wacky. You can follow
That's
me on Twitter. At MrazCBS, MrazCBS. And remember, the number to call, if Pete shall answer any phones today, it's 855-212-4227. The number again is 855-212-4CBS. Yes, we got Pete the Body and James Boccioni along the way as well. All right, when we come back, Bogus, there were scrimmages played in Orlando that were on TV in the NBA bubble last night. We got a little glimpse into what the NBA and the bubble in Orlando may look like on TV. Did it work? Will it work? What did we like? What didn't we like? We discuss how the NBA played on TV next. It is the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227. Is sponsored by Geico. Do you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. That's right. It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. It's Andrew Bogus. It's myself, Mraz. We're in for DA off the summer of DA. Quick prediction time, Bogus, Pete the Body. What will DA do with his day off today?
Am I going first? Today is Thursday. Well, I'm assuming it'll just be another sunset photo and maybe lobsters or something on the barbecue. That seems to be his only MO these days, is nature shots and grilling shots with beer can mixed in. So I can't imagine it'll be too far from that.
Probably. Pete?
I'm going to say he's going on some type of boat.
A boat? A boat outing?
Yeah, a little
what
boat
if
outing.
I told you? What if I told you I know what DA is doing today?
Well, I'm assuming that's why you asked the question.
He's listening to the show.
DA is seeing me today.
I don't want to know what that means.
No. DA has texted me. This is unbelievable, right? We are filling in for DA. DA has texted me, hey, Mraz, not sure how you feel about everything, if everything's safe or whatnot. You guys feeling all right? Me and the Bourbon Bell would love to come down since I'm off on Thursday and meet Taylor for the first time. I said, oh, that's nice. And I'm thinking to myself, so you had no plans when you took off. You took off, and on a whim, I'm working for you, or we're working for you, even though we're still working. I guess whatever. We're still working anyway. And you're coming to see me down to Long Island. But the Lobsters are not far. He's asked me for a lunch recommendation. He wants to go to lunch with him and the Bourbon Bell somewhere to see water and lobsters and like you're talking about. And then I'm going to get I haven't seen DA since early March other than these meetings. So I will, on the day he's missing opening day, I will actually physically see DA in person from a safe distance. How about that, Bogish?
Well, I'll just say, I'll talk directly to Pete. We're reminded again of where we stand on the mothership, because both of our houses are on the circuit from where DA lives up north of New York City to come down and through Long Island and get to
right.
Sean.
He can
he
make
has not
the rounds.
Met any. Yeah, he hasn't met any of my children. And I have water and food nearby as well.
Same
and I'm not getting a visit. And yeah, Pete lives on the beach and Pete's not getting a visit, but Shawnee's getting one. So once again, Petey, me and you down under in the below deck area while Sean and DA are like Han and Chewie up in the main cabin.
First off, great show below deck. Second of all,
very true.
Second of all, I think he's only going for the food. He wants to get a good food recommendation. And he's throwing the Taylor thing
Okay, so that's like interesting. So you think that maybe he was going to go to the general area of Sean's house, and when he posted a picture, Sean could go, you could have stopped by. I'm 10 minutes from there. And to avoid getting caught like that, he's going to have the visit as a cover for just the trip to the southern shore of Long Island?
He wanted to go to the south shore, have some food, and just see what else is along the way.
I can admit, DA does love the South Shore of Long Island. That's where a lot of our beaches are. Now, we mentioned Pete actually lives on the beach on Long Island, but also lives in what would be considered, I guess, a private beach community. Parking is a little bit of a struggle. Right now, I think you have to only be a resident to get on his beach. I live, legitimately 2 miles from New York State beaches that everybody could come to if you're a DA and get into, with plenty of restaurants on the water. So my assumption is maybe you guys are right. Maybe he's using me. Maybe he knows he couldn't take his sunset pictures on the beach and his lobster pictures and check in and then have me go, wait a minute, DA, you were right down the block. What are you doing? So now you have me second guessing. So I'll run that by him later. But I know he'll be on the road at some point this morning. So we got to be on our P's and Q's because, you know, guys, I don't think I like the way you did sound check there. That was not a good time to do stun doing news. You know, I will get picked apart later as well. These things are all on the table. Now, with that being said, speaking of being picked apart, we had some NBA basketball yesterday in Orlando, Bogish. I'm not sure how much of this you caught. They were scrimmages. It's impossible for me to sit there and watch all of these games, but I definitely checked in on a few, including the Nets. And then our old friend Gary Gerald was calling the Kings game, getting taken by NBA TV. So calm and so boring as the Kings played the Heat later at night last night. But let me just set the tone for those of you who may have missed the games on NBA TV as we prepare for next week's regular season resumption opening night that will come of the NBA 1 week here behind Major League Baseball. They are starting to play some pre-restart-up season games. How it looked on TV. All right. You obviously have the NBA logo at center court because you're not doing team courts, although I thought they shipped team courts in. Is that just for the postseason, Bogish?
No, it's for practice. They're practicing on their arena floors. I guess that was the way, instead of finding all of these new courts to lay over the floor in ballrooms and dining halls and whatnot through Disney, they had teams bring their already existing courts down there, and they laid those floors down to create the courts where there weren't already courts to begin with.
Okay, sounds ridiculous. But anyway, you have the NBA logo, you have I think larger than I expected, Black Lives Matter across the court, but just from around the scenes where you'd usually see the fans, the benches are basically layered in three rows, spaced out apart, and it almost looks like when you're checking into the game, Bogus, like you're coming down for the Price is Right. You're running on down, you're running down to the bench. It's not your usual, like, 15 chairs in a row on the first, and you get up. Now, I think that accomplishes two things. I think they're spacing out players, although I'd argue once you're already in that locker room playing on the court with each other, going through practices, eating meals together, you're in the bubble. I don't know that the spacing on the bench really, now that's the end-all be-all of safety when it comes to the NBA bubble. But it also, I got to be honest, looks better on TV because it looks like people are sitting in the first couple rows the way they've spaced it out. And then in the center, they have, I guess, what's the press area of people invited to the bubble, and it's all, I guess, like screened plexiglass or whatever, and they're all separated almost
in their
own booths. It's
a huge penalty box.
Right, it's like a penalty box in hockey, a huge penalty box, and those guys are separate from the players. And then right behind where the players sit, you have giant screens running like the team logos across it. And I can only assume that that's eventually where they're going to do, like, the virtual fans screaming and yelling, chanting defense and stuff would be my assumption. You don't really get a shot of the other side of what's behind the TV cameras, but the only other follow-up I would have to that would be one of the things you're allowed to do in Orlando is go to other games. So if you're bored or whatever and, you know, you guys have played at – or maybe you have an off day and, you, all right, I'm going to go check out the Heat, play the Bucks or something like that. You as a player that's already in the bubble have the ability to go to these games. I don't know where they're putting them, Bogus, unless they're putting them behind where the cameras are for this shot.
Yeah, and I thought, too, I wasn't sure inside that penalty box. I thought those were all, like, game officials, you know, the scoreboard guy, the PA guy. I thought the media had to sit up in the stands away from I didn't think they could ever get close to players. So maybe there are kind of sections of seats on the, like you said, on the TV camera side of things where everybody's going to go. But in general, you know, I thought it looked really, really good. I thought they did a really good job of setting everything up, including the plain court. I don't know why that mattered to me. But the decision to have the court basically bare, except for the NBA logo and the Black Lives Matter graphic on top of that, you know, they could have painted it. It could have been different stains of wood. They could have made the key a different color. But it's just a court with lines. And for some reason, even that to me worked. It just, everything about it prevents you from knowing that they're playing in an empty gym. Like, you just don't see it. And the lighting reminds me of All-Star games. You know, the All-Star game, the arena is usually, like, I don't know how they do it, and I don't know what the right technical term is, but it's dark all around the court. Like, you don't always see the fans. It makes this kind of almost like a movie set feel, at least in my eyes. And that's kind of how they replicated it in down in Orlando, where everything is dark around the court, so you don't see any of the emptiness. And, like, as you said, the size of that, the scorer's table and the two or three tiered bench on either side, then the high video boards, you don't see anything. It looks like they're playing. I even thought at times it felt like a video game where you don't have your surroundings anyway. It's just the court. I thought whoever came up with that design overall did a really good job, because it didn't, maybe once or twice from a baseline view where you can see the actual wings of the arena, you can't tell that they're playing in emptiness, at least visually.
I completely, completely agree. I was very surprised at how it played on TV, and I think postseason games, you know, even if you're not into the restart of the eight regular season games, I think the playoffs are going to play well there. And it kind of gave me a reminder, and I know it's, you compared it to the All-Star game, and I'm not comparing the lighting, but I'm just more comparing the bigness and spaciousness behind. It gave me a little bit of feel like we're watching basketball in the Olympics, I guess. Like, things were, like, you could tell things are just a little off, but it wasn't overwhelming. Like, you drop them in the middle of Madison Square Garden and you're just seeing the pan around of the empty seats, like we're seeing in Major League Baseball. They made it feel like people were there with the players themselves at the three benches with that glass, and that's all you got on your TV shot. And I think that absolutely works. Now, I did see a video of basically the Clippers being announced on the court, and they're going full-blown like there are fans there, ladies and gentlemen, here come the Los Angeles Clippers. And it just sounds a little weird. You know, the rap music's playing, the balls are dribbling, and there's no cheer behind it. So that's – they're not really doing the crowd noise, I guess, unless they just figured there'd be no crowd noise at an exhibition game anyway. But I would wonder if the postseason they'd have to pump that in, maybe chance of defense, stuff like that. But overall, I'm with you, man. I thought for NBA scrimmages – it kept me a little longer than I would have predicted. I was mainly just looking to see how it looked out. And I think it's going to work. I think the only thing that will come as the games get bigger and better is, you know, naturally in the NBA is prepared for this. You're going to get, you know, the people who love the Black Lives Matter on the court, the people who can't stand it, go, oh, I'm boycotting this, that, the other thing. Look, it's basketball, I'm going to watch, and that's the end of it. But I think that's the only time you're going to hear anybody complain about or fight about anything the way the NBA looks on TV, because they nailed everything else. And kudos to the NBA to spend that much money doing this project. I think you figured it out. I think the video boards work blocking the empty seats, and I think it's only going to look bigger and better as the games get bigger and better.
Yeah, and I forgot about the fact that players can go to other games, and at some point, obviously, there's going to be only a handful of teams left down there, but until then, man, I need those guys in those seats heckling. I mean, imagine if we get a story of, like, Giannis sitting 10 rows back chirping LeBron during a Laker game or vice versa. You know, I need some drama coming off of this, at the very least just some noise from those guys having fun watching other teams play. That's going to be, I hope that gives us some interesting storyline here over the next couple of weeks of guys either being like strangely cheerleaders or being bad heckling fans when they're watching somebody else play.
So, and we'll get to your update in just a second, but you're right. That would be a lot of fun if one of these guys suddenly becomes Spike Lee and they're just screaming and yelling and it becomes like a thing at the other series. The problem, though, Bogus, is as this bubble evolves and as we get to the conference finals, the NBA finals, there's going to be less and less of that because these guys who have been in the bubble aren't going to stay for the NBA finals. So for the regular season and the first round of the postseason, you could have a chance to see more of that as the season gets later and more teams get eliminated. It's going to be less and less people there, which is the opposite of a normal NBA season where more and more crowds and more people keep pumping in, which is something interesting to have. But the NBA on TV, it looks like it's going to work. It's going to work. By golly, it's going to work. The only thing that put you to sleep was not the court, not the crowd. It was Gary Gerald calling a Kings game on NBA TV late last night. Bogus, we have an update to get to.
Yep, and we're going to go right back to that NBA because not only do we get our first look at the court yesterday with these scrimmage games now starting, we are reminded that certain players play for certain teams that you might have forgotten, like Bol Bol. He is a Nugget, 16 points, 10 rebounds, and 6 boards in yesterday's win over the Wizards. Minute's son hadn't suited up yet for Denver since being a second-round pick last summer because of a foot injury.
I've been working really hard, especially since I got here in the bubble, so I was just trying not to be nervous, and then everything would just come to me.
For what it's worth, no rookie has had a 15-point, 10-rebound, 5-block preseason game in the last 20 years before yesterday. Denver had only 8 healthy players yesterday, so the 7-foot-2 Bol started alongside fellow bigs Nikola Jokic, Paul Millsap, and Mason Plumlee, with Jokic running the point. The Pelicans said yesterday that Zion Williamson still plans to return from that urgent family matter, but there remains no timetable. Zion is testing every day, remains negative. His quarantine, once he returns, depends on how long he's gone, and of course, on those test results. Mookie Betts not going anywhere anytime soon. The new Dodger outfielder signing a 12-year extension, said to be worth $365 million. Betts already making a prorated $27 million for this season. The extension is technically richer than the one Mike Trout signed at Anaheim. And speaking of Trout, he had left the door open to opting out of this season because of his pregnant wife, but said yesterday he is fully committed to playing. The news not as good with New Angels third baseman Anthony Rendon. The oblique strain he picked up last week will keep him out a couple of days, which of course includes opening day, which for the Yankees and Nationals, the Giants and Dodgers is today. That first pitch in D.C., 7:08 Eastern. And as we discussed at the top of the show, what's up?
I forgot to bring this up in the open. How about last night, MLB, the first sign of anybody lucking out? There's basically tornado sirens going off in the D.C. area. It was an incredible storm. Right around when the game would be played tonight, the same time last night in D.C., was like the movie Twister blowing through the D.C. area. And I got to be honest, folks, I took that as the first positive sign of 2020 because it would be so 2020 for us to get revved up for baseball. And out of nowhere, Washington, D.C. is tornado sirens going off. Hail the size of baseball is crashing down. Dr. Fauci can't come out. We can't play baseball. We're waiting around all day for a 10 p.m. Giant-Dodger game later tonight. That would have been so 2020 to have opening day completely ruined again. But we were one day early on the weather, and that's going to benefit us tonight, it looks like.
Is it, though? Because we have the same forecast here in New York for similar storms like yesterday, and I thought it extends that far south. So I don't know that we're completely out of the woods, but yesterday was insane. People were sharing like the National Weather Service alert that said, as this storm was coming through the D.C. area, that your life is in danger if you're outside because it was going to be so windy and the hail was going to be so big. So, yeah, that was craziness up and down the eastern seaboard yesterday. So, again, those are your games tonight. Before first pitch, MLB and the union said to be working on, again, expanding playoffs from 10 to 16 teams. Football, we'll get to this in more detail shortly. If there are fans in stadiums this season, the NFL says they will have to wear face coverings. And here's a shocker. Antonio Brown now says he still wants to play football. Oh, the unofficial count is up to three times he has now angrily, hastily retired, only to rescind that declaration within hours or days. Last night in MLS, Minnesota United and Colorado played to a 2-2 draw that clinches second place in the group for Minnesota. FC Cincinnati reaching the knockout stage as well with a 2-0 decision over the Red Bulls, and the Chicago Red Stars held off Sky Blue FC 3-2 to join Houston in Sunday's championship match at the NWSL Challenge Cup in Utah. Shawnee?
All right, Bogish, when we come back, this date in Mothership history. You know, it's funny that we may or may not have a college football season because Tim Brando has been a longtime guest on the DA show. In fact, he's been on the show so long and he's been alive so long that there's only one reason he still gets his local paper. That is where we are at next. It's this date in Mothership history. It's the DA show on CBS Sports Radio.
Come on, step inside. It's this date in Mothership history.
I like this move, James Boccioni, putting together this date in Mothership history. Why? We've done a lot of last year, a lot of 2018. We're going back 5 years. 5 years ago today, July 23rd, 2015. I don't know why I did a fake Waka Waka there, but Fox Sports commentator Tim Brando joined the show and reveals he still gets a newspaper read. He doesn't do it digitally, but for one important reason. It's this date in Mothership history 5 years ago today.
You know, I'm a big Spurrier guy. I think a lot of us in the media, especially guys my age, are, the baby boomer said. But, like, because we're in the media, we have to change with the times. You know, I still have a newspaper thrown in my driveway.
In our day and age, it's kind of silly to even consider that people might be reading newspapers.
All right.
Yeah, I do. I have one thrown.
Okay? All right.
But I'm more than likely not going to read it unless I'm checking the obit column because I'm getting to that stage of my life where I may need to check and see if I've lost some friends or relatives. Or...
Grace! She passed away 30 years ago.
From a distant part of the community.
We can't leave her on the patio.
Would you rather I slipped her in the night deposit box at the funeral home? Come on.
But I still have it thrown. And I think what happens here, I get most of my information from social networking.
The likelihood that you're reading a newspaper, you probably go to Google News or somewhere else to get all of your news.
As well as the internet. And
Google News doesn't cover that.
Beyond, like most people do in the media today.
Man, Bogish, we're going to get there one day, and hopefully it's not too soon, where you're checking the obituaries. I guess now, you know what? That's an old school thing with Tim Brando. Would you rely on Facebook now with our era for the obituary? You get the big announcement, so-and-so passed away?
Yeah, so I mean, I too actually get a newspaper thrown at my house twice a week, Thursdays and Sundays. But I would think that's still, whether you get a real one or not, that's not the way to find out who died. Do people even call in obituary reports anymore? Is that even, that's still a thing?
Well, the funeral, I can't believe I know this much about death. The funeral homes handle them now. It's part of the fee you'd pay at a funeral home, and they'll
send it to your
local paper. They'll ask you, because it's part, you, this is really morbid, but it's
part
on
the menu.
Basic. Right, it's part of like your all-inclusive package when you go to a funeral home and, you know, the wake, the casket, all of this. It'll be, okay, and we'll submit the obituary that, you know, we'll pay for to the newspaper, however that works. They just want to know if you want to write it or if they want to write something brief that so-and-so passed here. Because the old obituary also gives you when the viewing is as well. So it pops up
right in
the paper and you'd be like, oh, okay, this one, Marge died. Wow, I didn't know this. I lost track with the family. Let me show up at the wake. And the funeral handles that. So, yes, people do that. But I feel like today's day and age, unfortunately, you know, there are still young people that pass away. I find out on Facebook. That's how this goes. I'm not cracking open Newsday to see that happen.
No, and I know that Tim has multiple daughters, and, like, I'm sure they serve the role that I have for my parents, because, like, I'm friends with people's kids, and then I see them post, unfortunately, like, you know, mom passed away or dad passed away. So then I pick up the phone and call my mom and go, hey, I'm sorry to be the one to tell you this, but, you know, Nancy died. And it's like, I'm assuming, like, the Brando kids have the same, like, info stream, like, they see it. So, like, even if Tim is not on Facebook, they are, they see it, they pass it along. I can't imagine that, and I love newspapers, but, like, that can't be the way you're checking to see how your friends are doing in 2020, to just make sure, woof, didn't mention Roger. I guess he's doing okay so far.
Boy, does everybody feel nice and uplifted here on MLB opening day as we talk about how to pass the news.
What would it be?
Of people passing away. I will make a public, how about this, a little public service announcement I will make on that note about obituaries and newspapers. I personally think today, if you were somebody out there who just heard this segment and went, man, I haven't picked up a newspaper in a long time. If you are going to buy one newspaper, go to your local gas station, your 7-Eleven, your Wawa, your supermarket, whatever it is. Today is the day that most newspapers, at least in baseball towns in America, do their full baseball previews. I know they're very big in New York as well. And that's always been something when I was a kid that was like, wow, okay, this is awesome. I'm going to read through who, oh, I forgot this one's on this team, this one's on that team. Now, it might seem a little bit irrelevant because we're tracking everything on Twitter and this, that, the other thing. But something about that smell, right? The smell of the newspaper, that fresh opening it up, the ink and all of that. If you're going to buy one copy of a newspaper all year, if you're somebody who wants to maybe support it, it's another business you could try to support during this pandemic. Baseball opening day, as a sports fan, I think is the perfect day to go out there and buy a newspaper today. Bogish?
Well, by the way, too, guess who is angry about baseball and the union discussing playoff expansion is newspapers, magazines, websites that all did season previews based on only five teams on each side making the playoffs. Now there might be eight. So if you go and buy your newspaper today, by like lunchtime, it might be somewhat outdated because we now have extra playoff teams. So therefore, you know, if you're angry at your local paper for not putting your team in because they just missed the cut of 10, they might have been in if they were 16. So those guys probably are not too happy right now. But yes, go no matter the day, figure out a way to support your local media, whether it's a newspaper or whatever it is, because everybody needs that kind of help. And we all need those outlets giving us baseball or real news or obituaries.
Plus, look, let's face it, we've all been there. We all sit on the throne. We all scroll our phones. A lot of people's best tweets come from scrolling on the phones. It's disgusting, frankly. You have basically your hands that have, you know, sat there on the bathroom and they're scrolling through your phone, and you know you're not Clorox wiping a chair or cleaning that phone good enough. Bring that newspaper, have it sit right on top there. It's the perfect thing to thumb through. You throw out. It's a clean way to entertain yourself while going to the bathroom. I'm Smokey the Bear with this announcement. The cleanest way to entertain yourself on the throne is still to read the newspaper. It's not to scroll your phone. This is Mraz with your CBS Sports Minute.
Are you doing Sports Minutes today? Because DA is out. Did you pick up the slack at all?
That is another part of this. Why not me? You know, Gelb is younger than me. You've been doing Sports Minutes a long time. I hear JR's doing them. He does a good job. Amy Lawrence does them. I mean, I'm considered talent around this place. I'm considered a host around this place now. I am not the young producer from 7 years ago. Why am I excluded from CBS Sports Minutes? Is the company embarrassed that I'll be on these affiliates reading these minutes?
Yes.
Well, yeah, I mean, Pete has a laundry list of drops that could probably explain why you're not in charge of writing concise thoughts and delivering them on an important topic. We can play them for you in the break if you want, just a quick refresher.
I want back in on Sports Minutes, or in general. All right, it's the DA Show. We come back. Masks on, the NFL is a plan for fans. The DA Show continues next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.